Hello, and welcome to the next episode of TransPerfect Lifestyle Talks. I'm Mark Wade. I'm the practice leader here at TransPerfect. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing someone that you all know. Unless you live under a rock, you don't know this person. Dr. Michelle Longmire, Stanford-trained physician, CEO, co-founder of Medable, the e-clinical organization. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's great to be here.
I think your story is absolutely fantastic, seriously, because here we have a Stanford-trained physician who pivots to starting an e-clinical behemoth of an organization. And I think that's fascinating. We would love to get under the covers of what was that like? And what was that like pivoting away from being a clinician to being a business owner? Please walk me through some of the decisions in that.
So, I think when you start out on any path, that's new, you don't know the entire journey of what's in front of you. But, the motivation for Medable came from my work caring for patients and also in research. So at Stanford in my training, I was caring for and also researching patients that had systemic sclerosis. And this is a rare disease. It affects women 9 to 1. And prior to the repurposing of sildenafil or Viagra, commonly known as, it had a very high fatality rate because of the pulmonary hypertension. So my work at Stanford was actually to identify identical twin pairs who had this disease, and then to do epigenomic sequencing and identify what were the hallmarks of the patients who were at the same genetic background, had progressive disease versus maybe didn't even have a diagnosis or very mild or minor disease. And it was through this effort that I just realized, wow, clinical research needs a complete technology overhaul. I was calling my colleagues all over the world to find out, did they have twin pairs with systemic sclerosis? The data we were collecting was extremely limited in terms of the scope of the data. And we really needed to be able to connect patients with a technology bridge that I thought was lacking. So here I am at Stanford in my residency, training to learn to be a dermatologist, doing bench research, studying for my dermatology boards, and just have this real itch knowing that there was this unmet need. It also, being in Silicon Valley, you kind of are in the midst of all the craziness around innovation. And some of it's amazing and world and game changing. And some of it, frankly, you're just like, how did this even get backed? So I remember I was like working on this idea of Medable, and there was this company called Yo, and all that it was this technology that sent a text or some message that said Yo. And I remember that, I think it was Mark Andreessen was like, this is the beginning of the two-bit revolution or something like this. And I just thought, this is like so crazy. People are throwing money at this problem. Meanwhile, there are these really big problems to solve that I believed would move the needle more if we could focus talent, resources, energy on these types of problems. And I'd also say that while working at Stanford and throughout my life, I loved the learning environment. I loved the people that I got the chance to work with, some of the best minds in medicine I had the chance to learn from and work with. But I also day-to-day felt that the time I was investing wasn't uniformly beneficial for what I really cared about. So for example, I'd be pulled into meetings about, the medical record documentation process or all of these different things. And I'm just like, I'm already doing that fine. Like, I don't need to spend hours of my day on this. I care more about spending my time where I really believe it's going to move the needle. So I realized that like this big institution was not where I was going to ultimately be able to spend my time in a way that I felt was maximally aligned with the impact I wanted to make. So started to interface with investors. Like, I had no clue what I was doing. I just, developed a pitch deck, went online, watched a couple of YouTubes, was like, all right, we can do this. And just, of course got a billion no's. But did successfully raise the first $25,000. Now we've raised $500 million north of that. you know, and really it's just kind of like maneuver warfare. You're just figuring it out as you go along. And I was balancing and juggling a lot of other commitments. But I ultimately knew that I wanted to kind of be master of my own destiny in the way I was using my personal passion for medicine and research and, you know, improving human health.
This is fascinating. So when you were doing your research, were you accustomed to having to get funding from somewhere else to actually execute your research, or was that already paid for, as it were?
Yeah. So, you know, as a postdoctoral researcher at Stanford, so essentially I went there, I did my residency, I finished my residency, and at this point I'm a faculty member. So I am seeing patients, that's, you know, generating revenue for the department, but I'm also doing research. That research was funded by the group I was working with. It was under a really incredible researcher named Howard Chang. I think he was one of the youngest MD PhDs for tenure at Stanford ever. And it was funded by the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, which is a very well-known medical institute. With that said, I would still work on the research grants to fund my specific projects. So one of the groups that I worked a lot with was the Scleroderma Research Foundation, which is now a group I donate to. But yeah, you know, you're, as a researcher, it's a little bit different, but it's also somewhat similar, where you're fighting for funding. You've got to put your best foot forward. You've got to tell the story of why this really matters. And I actually think one of the core similarities between a successful business person and even someone who, you know, is extreme as a Nobel laureate, and I've known some of these people who are Nobel laureates, the commonality for success, one of the common attributes or skills, is the ability to tell a story about what you care about in a way that is appealing to a much broader audience than the technical experts that really know the domain in depth. And so, yeah, I think in my research, I did that. It certainly helped me as I started to pitch people who were like backing consumer internet companies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, so you're speaking to them as a researcher, and right, their language is very, very different. Their understanding is very different. So, but I love the fact that you had this story and you were passionate about the story and you were able to translate, excuse the pun, but you were able to translate that story into a language that they actually understood. Yes. Once you got that first funding, how did you go about it? I mean, it's a huge task. How did you go about it? Did you have ideas around very specific things you wanted to build? I mean, how did it happen?
Yeah, so, you know, I always just encourage people who want to start their own business to do it, because you inevitably have very, very, very few answers, but you do, and in fact, sometimes you don't even know the questions to ask, but you're going to figure it out if you believe there is an unmet need in the world that has business value. So my original insight was actually that we had this incredible explosion of mobile. At the time, you know, Apple and the App Store was just getting off the ground. I remember when Steve Jobs died, I was in Palo Alto and I went by his house, and his entire fence was covered with memorabilia from the Apple App Store. People had come from all over the world to put these icons of the Apple App Store, and it was still in its infancy. And the reason this matters so much is there was this revolution underway where people were changing the way they expected to connect with the world, where mobile was going to be essentially, you know, the way we use the internet on our daily basis and anywhere we were as people. It was the mobility that we needed. And so what I essentially saw was that we needed to use mobile to connect patients to healthcare and to research. And so I wanted to create a technology platform that actually could be highly flexible and meet the needs of different healthcare applications, but be that underlying infrastructure for what I saw is just a massive change that was going to come, that would be, you know, an underlying infrastructure to support all types of healthcare applications. And the reason that mattered to me was so many of my physician colleagues who had amazing ideas about how we could change healthcare, they could not invest with a large engineering team everything that would be required to launch those apps. But if we could create a system where the application build was quite easy, they could take their knowledge and do it without an engineer and get these applications into the hands of patients and actually really change across all different domains of medicine how we were connecting with and caring for patients. So the original idea was actually an enterprise application platform with consumer scale. And this has actually remained the core differentiator of Medible today. Fast forward to where we are today, we've leveraged that same application infrastructure to build our own applications for research. We've realized the vision of no code needed. You can easily configure an application that now has complex clinical trial workflows. And our users, you know, are experts in healthcare who can simply create applications that connect to patients, largely focused in research.
So is that, I think that's very different because you now have like researchers developing the pathway, the apps, rather than developers.
Exactly.
Yeah, doing it. Because that, right. that is the usual way it's done. So you have science. I've always said science first. I mean, everyone at Transperfect is bored of me saying that. Science first, everything else later. Would you agree with that kind of thing? Science first and then the technology?
Well, I think that absolutely, you need to understand the problem you're trying to solve. And in our domain, it's all about the science. With that said, I think one of the core, you know, parts of creating differentiated technology companies is that you provide a solution that scales to solve a big problem. And so, yeah, I would say that what we did was we saw that it wasn't just going to be one or two types of different applications that were going to be needed, but there would be, you know, thousands of use cases. And we wanted to have a platform that could support that level of science in healthcare. And that was in the early days, right? This was literally when there were new apps coming into the app store every day. Now what we learned a lot as we went along the journey. But we, you know, successfully did launch a no-code needed research kit application capability. This was way back in like 2016, 2017. That then got in the hands of medical researchers across the United States. And then it was actually through interfacing with the life science community that a number of people were like, this is how we should do drug development. And this was, you know, a big part of my ambition, but at the same time, I had been working in academic medicine. And so as I started to really learn the differences between what we were doing originally and what it was going to take to do this in drug development, that became the new focus. And that's where I started to see, okay, you know, back at Stanford, where I'm caring for patients with systemic sclerosis, and we're trying to identify new therapies, we're conducting clinical trials, some of those are actually repurposed drugs, we needed a system that would actually go beyond capturing research data, but would actually be used for drug approvals.
And with that, is that the genesis for like something capturing data from patients? So everything from like, you know, what we might call today an EDC system or ECOA system, was that whole like life cycle of the drug development data capture?
Well, the idea was really about understanding human health broadly initially, right? And improving human health care. But as we understood the huge opportunity in focusing in on drug development as a core use case, our platform and our applications really evolved to be beyond, of course, an EDC. We see this as source data, but a next generation way of connecting with patients, capturing data, and understanding the efficacy of the intervention, which, you know, now is all of these different phase 2, phase 3 clinical trials with investigational drugs.
Yeah. And of course, the regulators are all like very focused on patient being right. Centric in the study. So I'm guessing exactly. your focus was on, yeah, around the good medicine and also getting good data right. from patients. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think part of our journey that makes us particularly strong in solving this problem is that we always started with this vision that the connection point was the patient. And so you know, our entire technology is designed for this billions of users, worldwide utilization. And in fact, you know, some of our work together has been, how do we serve that broad of a footprint of people, which actually is very different than serving that same geographic region when you're, we're only serving the technology to the clinicians and clinical staff. So, you know, since the beginning, when you think of the original vision, how can we create a platform that can improve human health by connecting to consumers? It's been really interesting to see that that's been a core differentiator for Medable. You know, I think in our overarching drive to create and democratize a system that can democratize access to healthcare and specifically clinical research.
In terms of going from like step one to step 10, you had to surround yourself with pretty smart people. And one person can't do all of that. So you can't, I'm sorry,
sure.
You can.
So was there a thing
I'm going to get someone in this role, who are very smart, who can build this thing out, and I'm not the expert in everything kind of thing?
Oh, for sure. And believe me, I'm not the expert in everything at all. My co-founder, my core co-founder is an expert in platform technologies. And yep. So essentially part of the idea came from being in an environment where, you know, there were all these enterprise technologies that I was exposed to, you know, whether it was Epic or Salesforce or things in Silicon Valley that you're like, these are large platform technologies. They provide scaled value. And so my co-founder came from the world of enterprise cloud platforms. And I knew that that knowledge base was what was required to do something at the scale on mobile we wanted, but was also new from the standpoint that this is not an enterprise platform for doctors or for sales reps. This is for every patient in the world. So yes, certainly, you know, a core part of the journey is finding that founding team and creating that team. So on our founding team, we have enterprise cloud platform expertise that kind of dates back to the inception of that field. The other is, you know, database engineering. Like, how do you create these big systems? What is the architecture that you need? So I have a co-founder who's an expert in enterprise architecture. And then I have a third co-founder who is an expert in mobile applications and actually was one of the engineers who built the first Farmville app in the Apple App Store, was an expert in iOS. And so it was that combination of the vision of what we needed to do from a healthcare and research unmet need perspective with, you know, cloud infrastructure, architecture, and mobile that enabled us to, you know, essentially do something that I think was very different and helped us build a foundation that wasn't a point solution, but that actually had a lot of scale and the value it created. But that was a journey. I remember when I got my first $25,000 investment, and I'm like, okay, I've got to like hire some great people. What am I going to do? And so I sent out a tweet that was picked up by like a famous development firm, engineering firm in San Francisco. And they're like, hey, like, we think we're out of your price point, but we know some great people. And they furthered that on. And then someone else picked it up. And I got my first, like my founding mobile expert co-founder came from this connection I built on Twitter by just going out into the universe and being like, I'm looking for someone who's awesome in this category, who wants to get on the ground floor of a startup. So yeah, you just got to get super creative. You know, the co-founder who came from the architecture, like cloud architecture, came from sitting next to someone in Palo Alto, you know, drinking a margarita, I think after like a long day, and the person sitting next to me, I'm chatting with them about, you know, all things Silicon Valley IP and technology. And they're like, I have someone you've got to meet. His startup was going under and he was going to have to put it on hold for payroll. And he's like, hey, you can't steal this guy, but if you just, you know, keep him busy for a little while and you can pay him, he'll go miles. He's amazing. He's the, you know, the best architect I've ever known. Anyhow, that, you know, ended up becoming a co-founder. The person that he introduced me to.
And I'm just going to assume that because we live in a very heavily regulated world.
Right.
And Silicon Valley is, yeah, it absolutely is the fulcrum of development for those big organizations, but they're not as heavily regulated. So did you have to like pull people back? Oh, well, hold on. That you can't do it that way. Well, yeah. Was that your job as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think what we ended up doing, so, you know, initially as we were serving this broad academic medical community, then it was really about HIPAA. And one of our first value propositions was that you could build an application on Medable and it was HIPAA compliant. So our original value prop was around the regulatory and compliance requirements of operating in healthcare. And that was actually part of why people bought our product. So I think that is a core value, you know, a core part of the product offering became the DNA of the company. Then once we determined that, hey, we need to accelerate this and advance it beyond HIPAA to actually, you know, Part 11 and CFR and how we're going to actually be able to collect data that's going to be submitted to health authorities worldwide, then the infrastructure and architecture was adapted to meet those requirements. And so, yeah, I think it was a learning journey and a lot of adapting and understanding what the new market opportunity was and building the technology that would support that.
Yeah, I think for me, and from, because again, I'm on the other side, I'm an arms dealer, so I'll deal with anyone. But the challenge that we have is certainly in e-clinical is that technology people are absolutely wonderful and very needed, but they don't have the science regulatory know-how. Unfortunately, sometimes they build it without that, as you say, that focus on like CFR Part 11. They don't actually have that and they don't realize.
Right.
And the other thing we've had is that people using medical devices don't understand 510K licensing. And they build it and then you sort of go, well, that's consumer grade and we're not going to use that in an NDA. So, so I'm kind of, I knew that was going to be your job as well.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You know, and then we started going into software as a medical device as a core part of algorithm development on our platform. And so then we pursued ISO 13485 and we just started to, you know, layer into the technology and the way that people work with our technology, these core capabilities that we knew technologists wanted in the broader industry beyond life sciences, but if they wanted to play in this sandbox, but also that would ultimately be required, you know, for our technology to be in the hands of patients in clinical trials.
Right. And then that does make sense, but it's another hat that you had to wear to get it to the next step. Yeah.
For sure. We've learned a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Michelle, this has been fantastic. We're going to have you back. We are. We're just going to have you back. It's as simple as that because we could talk to you all day. Unfortunately, time is our enemy as always. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today. Really enjoyed it. We're going to have you back. We are absolutely going to have you back. Today, I was talking to Michelle Longmire, CEO and co-founder of Medable, an e-clinical organization. Please subscribe and join us on our next podcast, Transperfect Lifestyle Talks. I'm Mark Wade. Have a good day. Bye-bye.